From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 22nd day of February 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kirk Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. And Dave Dickey will be along with all the agricultural news. And I'll tell you all about a recent farmers market study conducted by the U of Y. It collected some interesting and surprising data. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast, and that it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day higher. Nearby contract in the soft red winter wheat at $5 a penny and a quarter, up 11.5 cents. The May at 5.15 1/4, up 11 1/4. And July futures at 5.27 3/4, 11 cents higher. March corn futures 3.71 1/2, 11 1/2 higher. The May at 3.82 3/4, up 11. July at 3.93 3/4, 11 higher. September contract at 4.01 1/4, up 10 1/2. And December at 4.08, up 9 3/4. March soybean futures 9.61 1/2, 16 1/2 cents higher today. May futures in the bean pit at 9.69, up 14 1/2. July at 9.75 1/4, up 13 1/4. August soybeans at 9.70 1/2, up 12. September at 9.52, they're up a dozen as well. And the November contract from the bean pit at 9.35 3/4, 9 3/4 higher. March bean meal futures up $5.30 at 281.70. The March soybean oil, 38.83, a settlement price there, up 31 cents. Live cattle from the CME Group, February contract, $92.05, 72.5 cents lower. April at 93.22 1/2, down 7 1/2. And the March feeders, a settlement price at 101.82 1/2, 77.5 cents lower. April contract at 103.17 1/2, down 82.5 cents. April lean hogs at $70.30, up 65 cents. And the May hogs in Chicago at $76.90, a settlement price on a Monday afternoon, 80 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, a settlement price, actually still trading, $80.20, up 39 cents on the day. Ethanol in the March at $1.72 1/10. That is a settlement price, a penny and 6 cents higher. Natural gas at $4.90 1/10, down 14 3/10. The RBOB at $2.11 4/10. That's up 2 8/10. And the heating oil at $2.07 7/10. 7 cents and 7 tenths of a cent, that is, are up 7 tenths of a cent. And the gold futures at $1,112.60, the settlement price there down $8.70 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 10,411, just about 9 points higher. The U.S. dollar at 80.51 is down 0.13, and the CRB index today at 276.78 is down 1.02 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like, as submitted by our own Mike Sola. He says this afternoon in northern and central sections should be cloudy, breezy, a few flurries today. In the south, cloudy, breezy, some areas of light rain, a bit of drizzle. Highs will range from around 30 in northwestern Illinois to 44 in southeastern Indiana. And then tonight, Mr. Sola says cloudy skies, breezy, colder, a few widely scattered snow showers and flurries. Lows will range from 17 in northwestern Illinois to 34 in the southern parts of Indiana. And tomorrow, in northern and central sections of the two-state, mostly cloudy, breezy, a few flurries. In the south, mostly cloudy. Highs tomorrow will range from 25 in northwestern Illinois to around, well, he didn't give me a temperature in the southern part of the state, but I'll bet it's just a bit higher. We'll check in on that temperature when we talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, a bit later in this program.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. Hey, our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is just a couple of weeks away. And if you haven't signed up yet, get your ticket ahead of time. You might want to do that. We're pushing along very quickly. Nearly 200 folks already signed up. You can find all the details on our website at willag.org. The All-Day Ag Outlook runs all day long at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, on Tuesday, March the 9th. Complete details at willag.org. On a Monday afternoon, time to check in on what's been happening in the agricultural futures markets. Kurt Kimmel is with us. He's out of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Looking forward to the All-Day Ag Outlook, in fact, in a couple of weeks. And we're getting lots of folks and lots of interest. I'm surprised that 200 have already signed up.
Oh, it's always a dynamic event to be at. Got a heck of a lineup there to speak, and looking forward to it, Todd.
Indeed. We'll look forward to having you there, but maybe we better talk about what happened today. Is it just the rainfall in South America, and the idea is that they're going to have a very late harvest season, much like we did in the United States, or are there other things that are happening in the marketplace, too?
We feel it's a combination of several events that all gelled together here to give us an update here on Monday. We feel that part of the buying in the overnight trade early today was still over from option expiration over the weekend. There were several thousand contracts of corn that needed to be bought to square away those positions. And even in the wheat, there was a couple hundred that needed to be bought in the overnight trade in early session two to square that position away. Then as we got into the day trade itself, the news you mentioned there, wet South America, Argentina received 2 to 4 inches. Forecasts are supposedly going to dry out here and get some of that progress going. Brazil's about 20% complete with their harvest, but getting the crop out of the southern hemisphere added some buying interest, too, as China has come back online here from their holiday, and talk is that there'll be buyers here earlier this week. Then, too, as we got into midday, the strength from that tripped some buy programs. There was one large house who had to cover for some positions. They bought over 7,000 contracts of December corn, had to buy a huge amount of call options back. They were short futures, long calls, and they come out of that position. But when you look at the totals going into late session, funds bought about 3,000 wheat, 20,000 contracts of corn, and about 6,000 contracts of beans. It'll be interesting to look at the volume and open interest sheets there in the morning to see if this is a new fresh buying or a massive amount of short covering.
All right, so either way, we have buying there. Probably puts a temporary push into the marketplace. Do you think it pushed it too fast, too hard today?
We could be safe to say that probably turn around Tuesday. The standard answer for me on Monday on a good day like today.
Yeah, all right. Oh, okay, I suppose that'd be all right.
on corn, we did poke out last week's highs. We were able to have a good close above those previous highs, so corn's in the best position to hold together here. We feel little pullbacks in corn can be bought from a short-term technical perspective. Failure to stay above last week's highs suggests that maybe we will be in a more deeper of a correction. Beans and wheat did not take out the previous highs, so that's going to be a challenge for those two markets to get something to go is to get above those highs and stay above those highs. Basis is going to widen out. There was a pickup in country movement. Producers have been waiting for a good 10-15 cent rally here to get some more sold, and we feel there's some pickup and movement here this afternoon, Todd.
Hey, what do you feel from your customer base about the way they're viewing the crop that they have in the bin and the coming crop? Are they neutral on it? Are they feeling not so good about what's been happening in the marketplace? Are they starting to feel friendly to the marketplace? Usually once we get to end of February, March, everybody gets a little tickle in their behind anyway. But feel better about the market just because there's a lot more sunlight out there. But do you get an idea from your customer base that they're one way or the other on the marketplace?
Well, the panic phone calls have quit coming in here for the last 2 weeks. From a marketing point of view, when the market goes down, you never have enough sold. When the market goes up, you've always got too much sold. And on the way down there, there was quite a bit of anxiety there and nervousness. Now if the market's going higher, guys do feel better and are in a position here to sort of be a seller on this rally with realization as a producer, your risk is to the downside. So for those who were caught a little long or not enough sold, this has been welcome relief. As far as the crop in the bin, everybody's looking at their neighbor. Their neighbor's the one that doesn't have very good quality grain. Quite a condition, but mine's good shape, you know. let's hurry up and push fast forward here and see if we see that big flood of poor quality grain come to the marketplace. But for guys that push pencil, as you know, on corn a year ago, our average price in February is $4.04. I don't know if we're going to get enough, a big enough rally here to get our average back to that. The way I understand, we're just under $4. But when you look at the input cost compared to a year ago on some items, it looks a little bit more promising. So ideas are if we can get this Dease corn back in this 417, 425, 450 area, we'll be some willing sellers.
Yeah. So, well, let's go to the nearby because there's a tough bout there. There's an awfully big gap that it will have to run through, and it's only a dime above the highs for the day, so the high was up around 375, 376, somewhere along that lines on the lead option. And then about 385, there's a pretty good size gap to the upside. Can it fill it?
Yeah, it's unusual to see a gap like that with the overnight trade. That gap was created after the crop report, and so it is one of those gaps that's real evident in the charts versus in modern-day trade. Halfway back up from those previous high is 385. So that sort of puts us in the middle of that gap. So if we just do a simple 50% retracement, that'll put us in the middle of that gap there, Todd.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go?
Yeah. Our cattle, 15-month highs. Everybody sort of rolled their eyes and giggled a little bit, but here we go. So anybody that's gotten on board here should have some profit in the cattle complex. Still looking at tighter supplies as we go down the road. This cash market's rallied $10 in here, so the beef sector's catching on fire, and it's still the place to be in 2010.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, take care. Thanks.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon.
Support comes from the Westchester Group in Champaign, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of agricultural investments for institutional, corporate, and individual clients. Information at 800-607-6888 or at westchester-group.com.
If you'd like to hear what Kurt Kimmel had to say again, you can always do that on our website, or you can dial this number. The phone number is 217-333-3434. We update at 10:15 and 3:15 daily with a bit of analysis and either the opening or the closing numbers. Again, that phone is 217-333-3434, or you can always visit WILLAG.org. Dave Dickey is here now. He has all of today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Japanese pork industry officials today say that Japan's pork imports fell 14% in 2009, but should rebound in 2010. Japan imported 702,936 metric tons of pork in 2009, compared with 817,691 metric tons in 2008. Although U.S. sales of pork to Japan fell, the U.S. percentage share of the Japanese pork market did not shrink. The U.S. sold Japan 288,699 tons of pork in 2009, compared to 336,993 tons in 2008, also a 14% drop. Those figures do not, though, quite match up to what U.S. market watchers report for U.S. pork exports to Japan. Private analytical firm Informa Economics estimates those exports were only down 4% in 2009. The Farm Credit System today says that its fourth quarter net earnings for 2009 were up 52% year on year as net interest income rose and loan losses fell. But overall, net earnings for 2009 fell $66 million, or 2%, to $2.85 billion. The FCS, which funds its lending to agriculture and rural businesses by issuing debt securities to domestic and foreign investors, earned $832 million for the quarter ending December 31st, up from $546 million for the same period a year ago. Net interest earnings were $1.45 billion for the fourth quarter versus $1.197 billion a year earlier due to a net interest spread increase and a higher average earning assets. Campbell Soup officials today say that second quarter profit rose on cost controls and favorable exchange rates even as U.S. soup sales waned. The world's largest soup maker says that earnings climbed 11% to $259 million or 74 cents per share. Campbell says sales increased 1% to $2.15 billion. U.S. soup sales fell 8%. Sales of condensed soups, which have high profit margins, were flat. Ready-to-serve sales were also down, but sales rose for soups used in cooking, such as cream of mushroom. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. You can hear both programs anytime you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. And while you're there, make sure you find all the details for our all-day Ag Outlook meeting. That's the ninth day of March, or the second Tuesday in that month. Coming up very quickly for a $20 registration fee, you'll get, well, almost two meals, at least one for sure, and a breakfast meal in the morning, too, and a great lineup all day long. All the details are at willag.org. You'll find an 800 number there, too, that you can call in with your pre-registration. And thanks in advance for doing so. Now, up next, you know, farmers markets, they're just not created equal. Some sell only fresh produce, while others offer entertainment and a wide variety of vendors. And as you'll hear, each market's unique personality attracts some people and repels others. A University of Illinois study revealed, based on what they offer, farmers' markets self-select people who are on a specific mission. And visiting other retail stores is not one of them, says University of Illinois ag economist Mike Mazzocco.
There wasn't a single farmers' market that we went to where people went somewhere else to. So there are all of these towns that say we're going to have a farmer's market. It will draw people to town. It will, and then they'll be here and they'll shop in our stores.
No one.
No, not a one of these farmer's markets, whether it was a Saturday or a Thursday or whatever it is, drew any business to any of the other retailers.
Mazzocco concludes then that market organizers are mistaken if they're counting on a farmer's market to bring more traffic to a retail store. He says the farmer's market may build awareness of other stores for future trips, but it's not something he investigated. He did, however, investigate what brings people to a particular farmer's market.
The farmer's market does attract the people that they subconsciously, unconsciously, inadvertently want to attract, okay? So, and they discourage those people that they inadvertently don't want to discourage, but they're discouraging them anyway. As an example, I remember the last time I was at the Urbana Farmers Markets, and I heard these two people complaining bitterly about, leave your dogs and your strollers at home. I'm at the grocery store.
Sometimes people go to the farmer's market for groceries. Other times they go for the carnival. Take, for example, he says, the Oak Park Farmer's Market. It's the only one studied where the majority of the people were men. Factually, too, a larger proportion of money spent at the Oak Park Farmer's Market was used to buy food consumed on site. People were there to buy coffee and donuts and roam around downtown and visit with their friends, says Mazzocco. He says you can contrast that with the Hyde Park Market. The mission there was to get off the CTA on the way home from work, buy some produce, and continue home. Well, the study identified five preference-based consumer segments for farmers' markets. Market enthusiast, recreational shoppers, serious shoppers, low-involved shoppers, and basic shoppers, each with significantly different demographics and behavior characteristics. Mazzocco advises market organizers to pay attention to community demographics for indicators of their potential and actual customers. The study is titled Consumer Segments in Urban and Suburban Farmers Markets and will be published in the April 2010 issue of the International Food and Agribusiness Management Review. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Hey, a couple of things to remind you of as we head into the bottom of this half hour. First is that we have our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting coming up. That is on Tuesday, March the 9th. And if you'd like more details there, you can visit willag.org. And while you're there, you can hit the calendar and you'll find all kinds of our Ag Outlook meetings, including one tonight in Terre Haute. That is at the Holiday Inn, starts at 7 o'clock. Chuck Shelby will be there, Kay Whitlock will be there, and Steve Erdman. And I do believe maybe that Jackie Vakes is going to that one. If not there, she'll be there tomorrow night for sure at the Hilton Gardens in Kankakee, along with Bill Mayer and Mike Zuzolo. And then the following evening on Wednesday at the New Ross United Methodist Church, I think these all start at 6 or 7 o'clock or thereabouts, but you can find the details on our website at WILLAG.org, and Dave and company will be at Purdue on Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. And you can find details again on those on the website at willag.org. Didn't leave much time. I think the folks at the Andersons are maybe with us this afternoon to talk about the cash grain market. Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing good, Todd. How about
Hi,
yourself?
Greg. Well, yeah, I left you. I'll tell you what, I left you 30 seconds. Why don't you give me the settlement, give me your prices, and then I'm going to come back and talk to you in just a moment, too. So what are your prices for the day?
All right, cash corn finishes up the day 11 cents at 357. New crop corn up 10 cents at 378. Cash beans finished up the day 16 cents at 961. And the new crop beans finished up 10 cents at 896.
Thank you much, and I'll stay with you for just a bit. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. A spokeswoman for Bunge North America says its Danville soy processing plant will close in April because there's an overcapacity for soybean crushing facilities. Bunge's Deb Seidel also says the Danville plant doesn't have the capacity to refine soy oil like other plants do. That means about 100 union and management positions will be cut, though another 185 workers will still be employed in Bunge's corn and soybean elevators and its corn milling plant. Illinois Senate President John Cullerton is challenging Republican candidate for Governor Bill Brady to present his own budget plan as the state struggles with a whopping deficit. Cullerton says he doubted Brady's suggestion that he could fix the state finances without an income tax increase. Cullerton says the state senator from Bloomington should detail his plans to cut the budget and fix the deficit ahead of the November election. Brady has said the state doesn't need an income tax increase. Cullerton's Senate has already passed an income tax hike, but the idea went nowhere in the Illinois House. Governor Pat Quinn has also proposed raising the income tax. Brady leads State Senator Kirk Dillard in the Republican race for governor, although the results haven't yet been finalized. Rainy Day Fund money is helping the University of Illinois take care of some overdue bills while it awaits more than $475 million in overdue state payments. Doug Beckman, the U of I Senior Associate Vice President for Business and Finance, says the university is using $800 million to pay down a backlog of bills totaling $3.8 billion. Beckman says the money is going quickly, and if the state doesn't come through soon, he says the university will have to tap into other reserves by May. The U of I and other government-dependent institutions are waiting on billions of dollars in money from the state. A judge has asked defense attorneys about a petition in a case involving Northwestern University journalism students whose grades were subpoenaed after their investigation of a decades-old murder. This morning, Cook County Circuit Judge Diane Cannon questioned defense attorneys for Anthony McKinney and set a hearing date for March 10th. Cannon asked about the content of their petition and their witnesses. Cook County prosecutors subpoenaed Northwestern professor David Protes, seeking his syllabus, grades, and emails. He says his classes say they uncovered evidence McKinney was wrongly convicted in a 1978 murder. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. It is a Monday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural weather forecast. John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, joins us to take a look at that weather across the globe. And John, maybe you could start with South America. There are some ideas that it's awfully wet there.
Well, in northern Brazil, that is an area to monitor as we go into the early portion of March, because it is going to be very active across that zone. And with harvest activity in full gear across that region right now, that is certainly an area of note over the next few weeks. No question that you will tend to see harvest delays due to the unsettled weather across that region up across northern areas of Brazil. But typically in that zone, climatically, what tends to happen is that as you go toward the middle to end of March, they do tend to dry out as that area near the Amazon basin goes into their dry season. So, yes, you're going to have harvest delays here coming up over the next couple of weeks. It does not look like a long-lived type of a situation.
And then if you go out a bit further, what do you see for them? Will they finally dry out a bit more? I know you said it's not a long-lived situation, but will they dry out enough to get moving?
Oh, sure. Up in northern Brazil, once you get to the middle to end of March, you're going into your dry season. So at that point, then you'll tend to see a big improvement in conditions up across those areas. And again, in South America, harvest progresses from north to south across the region. So the first area of note is going to be northern Brazil, and they should be drying out by the middle portion of March.
Any trouble spots around the rest of the globe that we need to talk about?
Yeah, well, other areas, you know, in southern Brazil and down into Argentina, they've had a very good growing season across those areas. There is a bit of dryness that's developed across Argentina, but they look like they will tend to get very good rains over the next coming 5 or 7 days. So that situation should not be any kind of an item of concern. And again, South America in general has had a very good growing season up to this point.
Yeah, so Argentina should have a good corn crop that I would think.
No question. No question.
All right. And then maybe you can check some of the wheat growing regions of the world. I know in Australia they have a wheat area that has historically been dry. How did they fare so far this year?
Well, overall, they've been in good shape across those locales. And for all the major winter wheat growing areas across the globe right now, really no major problems out there across the major areas that are either developing or harvesting right now.
And in India, how's the wheat crop progressing?
Well, at this stage of the game, that's really due to their irrigation reserves from last year's monsoon. And as they go into the spring season there with the monsoon problems that they had last year, they probably will have some problems coming up in the spring with some of the dryness that they had across those locales.
Anything that we should talk about here in the Midwest?
Middle of the country remain quite active, and so a lot of storm systems pushing through. We will, however, kind of get out of the deep freeze, get out of the cold pattern that we've been in since the latter portion of January, and it looks like another week or so of cold weather, but after that, we finally get back to normal.
John, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Todd.
John Davis is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
And that wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.